Hey,
it's Monday night.
Indeed it is.
And tonight on Voiceover Body Shop, we have a great star. Guy has been with us a few times, but the first time in our studio.
I love it.
I know. Anthony Mendez, who's going to tell us all about all the cool stuff that he's doing. And, you know, maybe you've watched Jane the Virgin and you'll know him from there. But once you realize his voice is in a lot of different places.
Yeah. That transition from the other coast.
Yes.
It's always interesting to hear people's stories.
So now he's here in L.A. and now he's here in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So, and we got lots of cool tech stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's we'll talk about a Studio Bricks thing, a soundproofing of a booth problem. And I got a review video of the MXL CR89 courtesy of Jack Daniel.
All right.
So we'll check that out too.
And lots of other fun stuff. So stay tuned. VoiceOver Body Shop is coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi there, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
All right,
we got a crowd in here tonight.
Woohoo!
You know that closing shot. You know, when we're coming into the clubhouse here.
Yeah.
The tomatoes have turned into a jungle.
We should do like a GoPro
right through the middle
tomatoes.
Of those.
That would be hilarious.
So if anybody wants any tomatoes, I have many, all sorts of varieties.
How the grapefruit coming?
Grape, they won't be here till Christmas.
Oh, okay. They got a while ago.
Right.
They look like green baseballs right now.
Right. Yeah. And lots of produce here at the VoiceOver Body Shop. Anyway, tonight on our show, Anthony Mendez is here in our studio. We're going to talk with him about all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's been on the show before, but his career has, morphed, and he's gotten some great stuff going. And plus, he just has a great voice.
He does. And he's a bit of a geek. That's the part I like
the
most.
And we're going to talk lots of tech with him, too.
The first time I met the guy was at a geeky trade show. We'll mention that later.
Well, that'll be fun. All right. And let's see what else is going on. We've got some tech stuff. We're going to talk about that. And some really cool things. Plus, also, if you're watching the show on Facebook, make sure, if you want to go to the website, it's www.vobs.tv. And check out the new website.
Yep.
So,
Let us know. Let us know what you think. It is a brand new site. It's just been built over the last few weeks. We're really kind of just testing. So if there's any ways we can make it better, let us know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we sort of have news tonight, so let's run the news intro.
VoiceOver Body Shop presents the VOBS VoiceOver Extra News. All the information you need for a successful voiceover career.
Alrighty, well, here is the VoiceOver Extra News, sort of, for June 25th. New Studio Bricks booth for sale. It's a story, yes. The Studio Bricks home office in Spain is going to send Wovo either one of two brand new booths for WovoCon 5 in November in Las Vegas at the Trelf for brief use during the conference. Only there's a catch. And the catch is that it must be sold before it arrives.
Interesting catch. Either one of the two versions below that we're going to tell you about are being offered. The Studio Bricks One Plus is being offered at $7,185. Would you slide the prompter towards the back away from us? And that'll make me easier.
Oh, there you go.
Fantastic. And the booths are being sold at a 15% discount. I didn't mention the other booth is at $6,383. So there's the One Plus,
yeah.
And there's the One, which is a little bit smaller. The 15% discount and the shipping and handling from Spain is also being offered at a 15% discount. So you add that together and it could be a pretty good size savings.
Right. So you're being notified about this exceptional price because as a California or Nevada resident, sorry, you East Coast guys, you are best positioned to take advantage of this offer. Even so, you'll have to pay the 15% discounted shipping from Spain and shipping from the Tropicana Resort in Las Vegas to your home in Nevada or California, as well as the total 15% discounted price of the Studio Bricks unit you choose.
Mm-hmm. Our deadline to seal this deal is the end of August, so please contact Brian Doucette at briandvoice@gmail.com for further details.
Yeah, that's briandvoice@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So this is a great deal because they're sending a Studio Bricks booth to WovoCon, and we'll have the booth there, but somebody has to buy it.
Yeah, so really kind of in essence, if you think about it, you become the sponsor in a weird way of this booth being at WovoCon.
Right.
Right? So you can sort of tell all your friends, hey, that booth's there because of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Now, it would help it. Now, the best deal is this, if it's somebody in Las Vegas.
Of course.
And we know we have lots of guys watching.
Local delivery would be really easy.
Yeah. Well, then you could just get your car and shove it in one piece at a time.
I'll tell you this. The one thing fun about buying a booth from a conference is when they were shipped to VO Atlanta. At least one booth was assembled. I'm trying to remember if we had two assembled. I think we had one assembled. The person that won the booth or bought the booth, was it Annie Arndt? Is that her name?
Andy Arndt.
She had everybody that was there, that her friends and the presenters signing the booth. So her booth has all these signatures on the side. So that's a cool, fun perk. Maybe you could have everybody sign it.
Yeah, really.
If you like that kind of thing.
The Studio Bricks booths are generally white.
Yeah, this one was like a neutral gray, so it looked perfect, all signed.
Oh, that'll look really cool. And they're great booths. You know, we know Miguel and Guillermo at Studio Bricks. They make a great product. So if you're going to WovoCon, which you should need to register for right now anyway, you'll have a chance to see a Studio Bricks booth, and if you want one, you can purchase one. Mm-hmm. And be a hero to everybody at the conference.
That's right, because that booth will very likely be used at the conference to help people get their sessions done.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's the intention.
Right.
But I have a feeling
we'll have some other stuff there too. So
Very nice.
So aside from that bit of little technical sales stuff, what's up in tech this week?
Well, actually, I got a microphone that's been, it was starting to collect a very fine layer of dust on the top. And Jack Daniel had loaned me this MXL CR89. And he was like, hey, man, would you bring that back to the studio today? And I was like, I took that as a sign. It's time to get a review done. So I did my first review in quite a while on my George the Tech channel. We'll roll this review. It's kind of long, so relax. And if it gets too long, we might cut it and continue it after the break. But here you go. Here's our little MXL CR89 review. Hey, everybody. This is George the Tech with a one-take review. What's one-take review? That means I'm just going to talk. No edits, flubs and all. Here you go. This seems to be the only way I can get myself motivated to do reviews and things like lately. I've just been, pretty darn busy here at George the Tech. Blessed, but busy. And when I'm given something to review, I need to do it in a timely fashion. So I got a little kick in the pants this morning by an email from Jack Daniel, who loaned me this microphone. And he said, hey, would you bring that back today when you come into the studio? Because he helps us over at the VOBS.TV studio. And I was like, you got it, man. So time to get this review in real quick. So this is the case it comes in. This is the beautiful MXL. This is the road case the MXL CR89 comes in. If you're familiar with MXL mics, this is pretty typical. I'd say it's a little bit nicer than what's typically seen
in their product line in terms of cases, but it seems to be really nicely made. Kind of like a little mini Halliburton case or something. Let's take a look inside and see what's doing in here. All right, there is the inside of the CR89 case. There's our microphone, which this is probably one of the heaviest microphones I think I've ever held in my hand. It is very heavy. I don't know why. I'm gonna show you a little bit of information about it on their website here while I talk, but I believe it's probably because of the chassis or the case or the tube that holds the electronics is probably made out of a very heavy brass or some kind of very high quality material. And that's a material of choice for making quality microphones because it doesn't resonate. And so you don't want to color the sound of the mic. So here you are. Look how beautiful that is. It's sort of like a dark chrome color. Chromed, but blacked out chrome. Kind of dark and evil looking a little bit, isn't it? Totally devoid of any switches. There's no high pass, no pad, nothing. This is a pretty pure microphone. And then a nice, beefy, heavy-duty looking shock mount that they include with it. A step above the average that I've seen. It seems very well made, on par with what you'd see with some of the much more expensive microphones from Germany. You know what I'm talking about. So that's the shock mount. Very nicely made. And they give you a few extra nylon elastics, because these things do wear out after a few years, depending on your climate. And a couple keys to lock the mic case. All right, so let's put that aside. Let's get into it. Just looking at the webpage here, you can see that they've obviously enjoyed a quote from a Pro Audio Review magazine for this microphone where it was favored over the Sony 800 or C800G, which is a very well-known, extremely expensive microphone. And the thing is, it's like microphone cost has nothing to do with how appropriate it is for someone's voice or how good it sounds. And I've learned that to be true, for sure. This microphone was obviously designed to aim at really high-end mics. In the MXL line, it's not nearly the cheapest. It's not the most expensive either. It's in probably the top third of their price range, but still only comes in around $250, somewhere around there. So it's really quite impressive. Some of the specs that people like to see, gold sputtered 6-micron diaphragm. It's a cardioid mic, of course, condenser. What else is useful here? Can handle 138 dB, so you can yell into this thing. Signal-to-noise ratio is 80 dB. That's not bad. The equivalent noise level, which is what a lot of people look at, 14 dB, sometimes also known as self-noise. If you compare that to like a Neumann TLM-103, that one's more like, I think, a 6. Don't quote me on that, but you can Google it. So this is obviously not as quiet as a TLM-103, but it's also a quarter of the price. So a dynamic range of 124 dB is what you get. And I think that is more than enough and plenty quiet enough for recording voiceover work. So as you can see, 1.85 pounds, quite a heavy microphone. But it feels it and I'd say it sounds it. I think I lied about that editing part. I had to edit that in. I'm going to put the mic up here on a tripod stand. Let's take a listen to see how it sounds, because that's at the end of the day really all that matters. You guys can look at specs all day long on the internet, but we want to know how it sounds. As you can hear, I'm using another MXL microphone I have. This is the one I've been using just for doing my webcasts for years now. It's an MXL 1006, way out of production. A little bit of processing on it. There's some expander and things like that on this microphone. So it's going to sound a little artificially clean and bright than it normally would. So actually, if I bypass all that, that's what this microphone sounds like. So this is just totally flat, compression, expander off. And guess what? Yes, you can hear my computer fan. And I know what you're thinking. Really? George the Tech can hear your computer fan in the recordings? Seriously, dude? I know. Give me a break. It's a 7-year-old Mac Mini. This is not what I normally do in here. So we're going to have to make that work today. But anyway, here's my MXL 1006. No compression, nothing. And we'll go ahead and put the CR89 up in its place. Well, actually, on this mic. Notice how I put the pop stand on. I'm putting my processing back on. There we go. I like that. A little more gain, a little hotter. notice I put the shock mount on the arm first. Always have the shock mount on before you put the mic in the shock mount, right? Pro tip. And if you, I don't know if you noticed how quickly I did it, because I've done it 1,000 times. I held the shock mount one hand while I tightened the thread. I literally loosened the arm itself and tightened it into the shock mount instead of spinning it around. Okay, it makes it a lot easier. Then, microphone, up and in. I'm going to drop it down, make sure it's in frame so you can see. And now I'm going to hold the microphone firmly so it does not fall, and painstakingly twist the little knurled nut on the top, which frankly could stand to have a little bit of lubrication added to it, make it turn easier. But anyway, holding the mic firmly, twisting the knurled nut, but not making it really tight. It doesn't need to be tight. You want to be able to turn the mic around to make adjustments to the mic placement. Okay. So there it is. Let me plug it in. Let's take a listen to it. All right. Obviously, I'm a little closer to this one. I'm a lot closer. I'm about put my the pinky to thumb distance away from the mic. No processing. Totally flat as you hear it in my room. This is a very quickly treated room. It's got a moving blanket on the floor. I have a terry cloth towel tacked to the ceiling above my head, directly above my head, to get rid of some of those early reflections. But it's got a little bit of liveliness to it. It's not too bad. But this is just giving you an idea what this mic sounds like. This is just making sure it's totally flat. Yes, it's going into my Roland. What's this thing called? This old Roland MMP2 mic preamp, which has a lot of processing on board I can use. But right now it's totally flat. Then it's going into my Mackie Onyx 820i into a line input. EQ is totally flat. And then that's passing into the computer via FireWire. So you're hearing it captured right off FireWire right now, theoretically. Actually, I take that back. You're actually hearing me through an Avid M-Box. That's the device that's here hearing me right now. If we want to just be thorough, we can record another track in Twisted Wave and record this microphone. Let's do that. Let's record this microphone simultaneously through another signal, another recording chain. And we'll record through channel 2 of the Mackie. Check, check, check. So now this is channel 2 of the, this is the FireWire port of the Mackie. Channel 2 being recorded simultaneously as the Avid, which is being recorded in my screen recording and video capturing software called ScreenFlow. So all those things are running together here simultaneously, and we're getting a nice capture of what that will sound like. Modulation, getting about minus 12, minus to minus 6. I firmly believe that you can record it at, if you record it 24-bit, you do not have to be peaking up to minus 6 at all. You could be peaking below minus 6, below minus 12 even, and still get fantastic quality. But anyway, this is what the CR89 on my voice, which is a little bit, my voice is a little deeper sounding right now than normal. It's not super warmed up yet, but there you have it. I think for its price, I think it competes very favorably with some of the other mics that are designed this way, this minimalistic, no bells and whistles design approach, no switches or anything. It seems pretty, I don't know. I don't have any other mics that are of a much higher end price range to compare it with some of the usual suspects. But I got to say, I'm pretty impressed. I saw this microphone at NAMM a couple of years ago, and I just randomly saw a picture of it up in Jack's studio. And I thought, Jack, I've always wanted to try that mic. And he said, no problem, I'll bring it in. Thanks to you, Jack. I really appreciate you letting me borrow the CR89, letting me use it for a while. And I have to say, I do like it. I think it has a little more upper mid-range presence than maybe I'd like for everything. But that can be smoothed out with a little bit of EQ. I checked the frequency curve. In fact, if I go back and look at the webpage, the frequency curve shows that the microphone is not ultra flat. It's got a little bit of a rise slightly in the low mid range,
which is not too bad. And then it's got a little bit of a dip around 1K, which is actually generally a good thing. And then a little bit of a rise at the upper mid, you know, the upper frequencies around 8K, and then rolls off. It's not a flat mic, but it's also not an overly bumpy mic with like big presence peaks with tons of sibilance and treble. And I think this mic could sound really good on women's voices, you know, which is what my original thought was that this could be a nice, good on many voices, but maybe even for women, because it does not artificially bump the treble up, which most women do not need. This mic will not overly emphasize sibilance. So anyway, that's the end of my rambling, quick mini one-take review of the CR89 microphone. And if you want to see more stuff like this, comment below. Tell me what you want me to talk about. Tell me what you want to see on this channel. This channel is very young. It's not got much going on here yet. I have a lot of work to do. So if you're interested in seeing more content, subscribe, click the bell so you know when I release more videos. And I'll try to keep more of a flow going now I have this little quote-unquote studio set up for doing this. So anyway, thanks again. My name's George Whittam from georgethetech.com, and I appreciate it so much. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you guys around the YouTubes. Bye.
And now we return to those thrilling days of yesteryear, and we find our heroes, Sheriff Dan and Marshal George, on a dusty stakeout at Voiceover Gulch. Let's see what drama is about to take place.
But, you know, you don't know where to turn to. For the best training and the truth about working successfully with ACX, well, here's your golden ticket. Registration for the 2018 ACX Home Study Audiobook Masterclass is now open for a limited time at acxmasterclass.com/register. You'll get 4 weeks of absolutely transformational training via audio, video, and online with support every step of the way. And you'll be led by David H. Lawrence XVII and Dan O'Day, whose past students have narrated and produced close to 3,000 books on the ACX platform. Go to acxmasterclass.com/register. And when you register before 9 p.m. on Pacific time on Tuesday, July 19th, David and Dan will pay for your first $500 of tuition. Act fast. acxmasterclass.com/register. Do what you've dreamed of doing, narrating audiobooks as a part of your VO portfolio. Go to acxmasterclass.com/register. That's acxmasterclass.com/register.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And we're back on VoiceOver Body Shop. And, you know, one of the reasons we're here is to help you with your home voiceover studio. I mean, that's how we started this whole darn thing.
That was the whole point of this thing when we started it out.
Who's going to want to watch a show on home voiceover studios?
It's the voiceover studio's answer to Car Talk.
That's right.
That's where it came from.
And that was in 2011, and now it's July 2018. So I guess people want to watch stuff about home voiceover studios. And they want to learn about home voiceover studios. And their home voiceover studios break, where they get buzzes and hums and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, there's only two places on the face of the earth where you can go to get the expertise you need to get your home voiceover studio the way it's supposed to sound. The way it's supposed to sound. Whistle. Way it's supposed to sound.
Why am I not catching on to what you're throwing down there?
I don't know.
I'm not on the
what
same...
What it's supposed to sound like is whistle.
Oh.
No. Okay, does that make sense?
No.
Okay, never mind. It's my acronym. Take it for what it's worth.
Oh, it's an acronym. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Whistle.
What it's supposed to sound like.
Like. Whistle. Anyway.
Okay, now I'll remember that. You'll never have to do that again. Whistle.
I've been saying whistle. That for weeks, and you're like, now you figured it
really?
Out.
Really? Where have I been?
Anyway. What is it supposed to sound like? But the thing is there's only two guys that know how to do it. This gentleman here, and hopefully me.
You always need a backup. So you got two people to choose from. You find me over at georgethetech.com, and you find Dan over at
homevoiceoverstudio.com.
That's right.
And it makes it easy because we can teach you how to do it right from soup to nuts, from alpha to omega.
From USB to Thunderbolt 3.
That's right. And we'll teach you the difference between those two. And if things go wrong and we want to be able to hear what your sound sounds like, all you have to do is drop off a sample of your audio. It's $25 at homevoiceoverstudio.com. If you're not confident with what it sounds like, well, I'll tell you what happens when people send me the audio. It's like, yeah, did you know this was in there? We'll talk about that in a second. But again, go to
georgethetech.com. You can leave me a sample, or you can head over to
homevoiceoverstudio.com and click on the specimen collection cup that is literally there, and that will take you right to the Dropbox.
Your cup runneth over, my
it
friend.
Does. Anyway, enough commercial stuff. We'd like to talk about tonight about soundproofing. Now, somebody sent me a sample, as I was just mentioning before, of a booth that they had, a custom-built booth.
Yep.
And at the end, she sends me some silence. All of a sudden, I hear this sound at the end. And I'm thinking, it sounds like a dog's claws on a wooden floor, which is unmistakable.
Yeah. And especially when you have a couple dogs.
Especially. So she sends me a picture of the booth, and sure enough, there's a crate right there with a dog bed in it. And she's like, you're right, it was. And I'm like, I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, tell me. But is there a dog walking up to the booth as you're finishing that test?
At least one dog.
And she's like, yes, there was. And I'm like, yes! My hearing isn't gone at my late age. And but it raises a problem.
Yeah.
She's in a soundproof booth. Right. Why is there the sound of a dog's foot during her audio?
That's a good question.
Well,
did she have a microphone outside the booth?
No, I said, is the door open? No, is the door open? No, the door's not open. Okay. Is there a seal around the door?
Hmm.
And she's like, well, I know there isn't. The guy that built it had a leave and he never put anything in there.
Oh.
Or he put it in too loose, and she's like, well, the door doesn't close all the way. Uh-huh. Well, if the door doesn't close on your soundproof booth, what you basically have is just a booth.
It's a hole. You have a soundproof booth with a hole in it.
That's right, but it's not so soundproof.
A small gap around your door or a gap in a window, whatever it is, if you have a gap, it can only be like a millimeter or so. But if it goes like around the perimeter of the door or more, more, is that possible?
Whatever.
If it goes around the door, it's like
more than a perimeter, then you're just totally out in another universe, gone into another dimension. Literally.
Then it's just like it's like having a hole like this big right in the middle of the wall.
Right.
I mean, it's a big deal. And the thing is, small gaps like cracks in the door let through higher frequency sounds. And that may sound so logical, it's impossible, but that's kind of how it works. Like an opening acts as like a noise filter.
Right.
So a door that's heavy will stop a lot of the lower sounds, but a crack in the door will let through the higher sounds.
Right.
And that's why you hear that sound through the crack
that's
in the
right.
door.
And she was mighty embarrassed by it, too. But
well,
the thing is the door doesn't close all the way, and there's not a proper seal on it. That totally short-circuits the idea of soundproof.
You shouldn't be embarrassed, because honestly, I know what booth she has, and we're not going to say where it came from. That wouldn't be fair. But the booth that she has, I've seen studios with a door that costs twice as much as this entire booth. And I'm not kidding.
No,
there
I
are studio doors that cost $6,000 to $8,000. There was one installed at the VoiceOver Lab here in Hollywood,
at the SAG-AFTRA.
Midtown. It's SAG-AFTRA.
Wilshire at the tar pits.
Right. And these studio doors went in, was it 2011 when that place was built? Now I'm starting to forget, 2010, 2011. And that studio, the one door in their solo booth never quite sealed right. It was a pain because, yeah, it was extremely heavy. It had like lead shot in it. It weighed like 300 pounds. But the seal never had a perfect seal. So it had somewhere along that seal, it let some sound in. Mm. And so it filtered out everything, except you could hear high frequency sound. You wouldn't hear voices. You'd hear more like, you'd hear that through the crack in the door. It was really strange. So anybody that was out in the classroom area or the control room area, they had to be quiet, which made it very difficult to have someone in the solo booth recording while there was anything else going on. And eventually they had those doors replaced. Well, the second half of that story is brand new doors went in, right? Yeah. I get an email from the lab administrator, Eric, saying, we got new doors in and we still hear voices through the seam of the door, of the new door. I was like, are you kidding me, right? And I was over there for something, and the new doors have a magnetic seal.
Right.
So they have like this strip of magnet that goes all the way around. Right. And you would think that's going to be a perfect seal.
Right.
So I'm running my finger down the seal along the edge, and all of a sudden I hit something sharp with my finger. And I'm like, what's that? I pull it off, and it sticks to my finger, and it is a teeny weeny metal shaving. Like when they were putting the screws, that little chunk of metal stuck to the magnet.
Creating a gap.
And created a little gap on either side of the magnet that was probably, you know, a couple inches long. I took the little chunk of metal out and I was like, how's that? basically the story of that is the devil's in the details.
Right.
I mean, the littlest thing can let sound in.
Right.
Another time I'll tell you about the sandwich in the wall story.
Oh, wow.
That's not my story. It's somebody else. Somebody else told me.
Not as bad as the cat in the wall story.
No, it doesn't smell that bad.
I've heard that one before.
But it's fascinating what that sandwich did.
But when it comes to soundproofing, a proper seal on a door is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. It's like, well, just close the door. Even if you're in a closet, it helps to put a rubber seal on that and a proper seal at the bottom.
A sweep.
Yes,
or
a sweep.
A threshold.
A sweep on the threshold.
You can actually buy automatic sweeps. They're called automatic door bottoms.
There's a little thing in it. When the door closes, it closes up and it lowers this little...
Those are available for any door.
That's
you can
right.
actually retrofit them onto your existing doors. You don't have to replace them. Or it's not very hard to install. If you have the opportunity to have a double door scenario, that's what we have in this studio. There's an exterior door and an interior door. That's even better.
Right.
That's, to me, better than one single door. Because first of all, it's a lot less expensive to buy two two like exterior grade doors.
Right.
They're going to have seals, thresholds, and everything. But you put two of them together, you get much better performance than just one door.
Right.
And if one seal isn't perfect, you got another one to back up the first one.
Wow.
So
if that doesn't prove that we know more about home voiceover studios than anybody on the planet.
You don't need proof, do you? Well, maybe you do. Maybe you think we're full of...
Yeah, maybe.
Let us know.
Anyhow.
Let us know down in the comments.
Yes.
Your YouTube comments. Let us know if we're right.
Well, Anthony Mendez has been sitting by patiently while we've been yapping along here about soundproofing and various other things. So stay tuned. We'll have him on in just a minute here. So we'll be right back on VoiceOver Bonnie Show.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years.
someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
And now we return to those thrilling days of yesteryear, and we find our heroes, Sheriff Dan and Marshal George, on a dusty stakeout at Voiceover Gulch. Let's see what drama is about to take place.
Alrighty, Anthony Mendez is a voice actor, we all knew that, but he's got an impressive list of credits to his career, including on-air promos, movie trailers, and TV commercials in both English and Espanol. Anthony has written and is currently working on a TV pilot inspired by his own life experiences of growing up in the headstone business, but with a supernatural twist called Mike Tomb. He hopes to have adapted it to a serialized and motion comic book. Well, what else? His breakthrough role came as the Latin lover narrator on Jane the Virgin, which earned him 2 consecutive Primetime Emmy nominations in 2015 and 2016 for Outstanding Narrator. And let's welcome once again to VoiceOver Body Shop, Anthony Mendez!
And now, we return to those thrilling days of yesteryear, and we find our heroes, Sheriff Dan and Marshal George.
Last time you were here, we were doing
a stakeout.
He called me a two-timer.
VoiceOver Gulch.
Now, you're going to see what drama is about to take
place. But it's the first time here in our clubhouse.
Yes, this is pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're having a great time here, and we've been wanting to get you on because you've been working on all this cool stuff lately. That's really fascinating. But first off, let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing that perhaps people don't recognize just talking about it. But if you tell them what it is, they're going to go, oh, it's him. You've been doing a bunch of trailers, I take it.
Yeah, it seems like I've kind of have settled into the Hispanic portion of the trailers. I'm doing right now Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're doing a big campaign for that. Tons of spots for that.
Mm-hmm.
Skyscraper, doing that. So I'm working with Universal Studios, I'm working with Universal Pictures.
Yeah,
Marvel and stuff like that. So we're doing a lot of trailers in Spanish. It's running on TV mostly, a couple radio spots here and there.
Yeah,
and I do HBO Sports Minute. That's in English. The trailers are in Spanish. And a bunch of promos for Showtime, MMA and boxing and stuff like that too. Yeah, so wow. It's been kind of all over the place. And I did a little bit of a couple of animation episodes for Legend of Avalor. Mm. I did one last season. We're doing another one now. I'm working on one now.
Doing characters for that?
Yeah, I play King Juan Ramon. So he's like the Latin lover narrator, just a little bit more regal.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Doesn't take much to make him more regal.
I don't know. I mean, I always consider the Latin lover narrator more of a metrosexual, bisexual narrator.
Okay.
Yeah, and it kind of gets me more into the suave of the character and also kind of his connection to the story because it is female-centered.
Right.
It's from it's a female showrunner. Most of them are women writers that are on there, and this centers around Jane and the 3 generations of women.
Yeah.
So it kind of connects me in that sense, and also a lot of hints that I've been giving about who the character of the narrator is.
Right.
So that's how I kind of approach that. But then I just take the same accent, but I make it more of a puff out my chest for Elena Avalor. So it's the same sound, different intention.
And now we return to those thrilling days of.
It's continues to be a growing market. I mean, there's a lot of people in Latin America and a lot of Spanish-speaking people, but the market continues to expand. I mean, all you have to do is have a digital antenna here in Los Angeles and suddenly realize all the stations are in Spanish.
Yeah, the biggest growth, I think, that's growing, but the more rapid growth is in the acculturated Latino market, in the mm-hmm. English or U.S.-born Latino market where they want to kind of not necessarily, it's not a send up like a Speedy Gonzalez type of thing, but as long as you kind of have, you're a little bit informed about the culture is and give it more of an American part of the story from that perspective. So that I think is growing a little bit faster too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the movie going public is a huge part of it is Latino. So that I think has allowed me to grow my Hispanic movie trailer part of the business.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out with the show, the Platino de El Nacho or El Noche. The guy with the clown, the clown talk show. It's like, what is this going on with this guy? Yeah. It's like this is some major cultural tourism.
Yeah, it's almost like what is it? Is it Funny or Die it's Funny or Die, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a Funny or Die. You ever seen that Between Two Ferns with Galifianakis?
Yes.
Yeah. It's freaking hilarious. It's almost like that, but except it's been running a lot longer.
I've been binge watching all the
So it's
wrong
almost
stuff,
everybody,
obviously.
The guests that go there kind of expect, you know, that he's kind of playing a character, like Colbert was playing a character when he was doing his talk show.
Right.
But it's just like that. It's just that they make it seem, and part of the charm is that it looks like a local cable insert kind of thing.
Yeah. Sort of like this show on occasion, you know. Anyway, all right. Now you're working on this other cool thing. It's a PBS 3-part documentary.
Yeah.
Wonders of Mexico.
Wonders of Mexico. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
That's a weird one because I've always, before I got Jane, my dream was always to do entertainment or documentary narration.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that would be the first thing. But once I got Jane, because the Latin lover narrator is such a character. What that ended up doing was not necessarily opening the doors for more narration, but for more animation. So that was cool, but it wasn't kind of, you know, I was still waiting for that narration. So at PBS, they said, hey, why don't we get the Latin lover narrator, Anthony Mendez, to do a narration? They were like, oh, I don't know if that accent works. So they just let me speak with my natural accent. So we're doing a 3-part documentary series where we take you through Mexico to talk about the culture, the people, the landscape, and a little secret parts of it that a lot of people weren't aware of. That starts on August 1st, and it runs, I think, every Wednesday.
Is it like a travelogue sort of thing? Or
it is, but it's a little bit more in-depth. It's almost like a nature documentary. It starts off that way because of what... So every episode has its own theme, where you go from the landscape, the wildlife, and the people,
right,
the culture.
Yeah. Oh. It's a big country. And
yes.
Cool
it's some really cool stuff. Yeah, we did that. We did all 3 episodes like in 2 days in New York, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that doing the narrator from Jane the Virgin, not aside from getting you noticed from doing that, did it teach you anything more about narration that you were able to, that lent it to doing this type of documentary work?
No, I think it just allowed me to kind of come into my own with being myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just talking before we got on about what kind of changed for me. And it came to that point where I said, you know, I'm going to do this and read this the way that I think it should be read. And
right.
If they like it, they like it. And if they don't, they don't.
Right.
I stopped worrying so much about what the specs were. I realized, because all my work comes through my agents, I realized that I don't really have to worry too much about the specs, because the reason I got it is because I'm kind of there anyway.
Right.
And then I just do what I feel that the copy needs. So for Jane, I didn't learn anything in terms of a regular narration. I just learned, I think I kind of came into my own, be
right.
more confident with, I'm Anthony Mendez, and they hired me because my name was Anthony Mendez and I was on a TV show.
Right.
They didn't necessarily hire me because they wanted the Latin lover narrator to do the PBS special.
Right.
So they wanted Anthony Mendez. And that, once you get in front of a mic and you can be yourself 150%, and you're not trying to give them a voice or a character that you think that they want, it's just so much more freeing. So it's basically me, Anthony Mendez, taking you on a tour of Mexico. Right. Yeah.
Sounds like fun. And that's on August 1st.
August 1st, yeah. PBS.
So you'll get that PBS. IMDb credit that says...
Himself.
Himself.
Yes, I know. That nobody really goes down to. I was like, damn it, it's all the way at the bottom. Yeah, yeah. I do, actually. It says himself on it, yeah. Which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. Now, you've got a comic book coming up? Tell us about this. Are you an artist? Or
I have always been a comic book fan,
yeah,
but more of the art initially. Like, I grew up with Todd McFarlane as one of my favorite artists, Rob Liefeld, and those guys before they went over to Image.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently started writing. But I thought, because I was in TV, I said, maybe I'll do a TV pilot. But I realized that my love was really in comic books. So what started as a TV pilot, I adapted it into a comic book series called My Tomb, Unrest in Peace. And we have a couple of actors that I know that are interested in doing an animatic for it, basically a motion comic part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, because that one has taken so long, it took about 3 to 4 years, I did another one called Pedro and Miso, which is about a homeless kid who's a genius, who has a street cat sage, Miso, who's by the book and kind of gives some advice. So that's coming out. They're both coming out on Comixology. Pedro Miso's coming out first, hopefully within anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks. And then Mike Tomb will probably be another maybe 3 to 4 months from now.
Very cool.
Yeah. Wow, man, that's great.
Yeah. And where can people, you've got the stuff on Instagram or?
Yeah. If you follow on Instagram, strip.stories, STRIPDOT stories. I post everything there, or just my regular IG, Anthony Mendez VO. Yeah. I always post everything there. It's just a lot of fun. It's basically, you know, I realize in Hollywood to get anything done on TV or film, it's like, you know, one in a million shot.
You have to pitch several things.
You have to pitch. You have to go into meetings and things like that. And I said, you know, with a comic book, I can write it. I can hire the artists that I want for it. And luckily, I've gotten some great artists, both penciler, inkers, and colorists on board, mm-hmm. and basically tell a story from a American Latino point of view that are inspired by different aspects of my life without me having to cast it and wait till somebody gives me a budget for it.
Right.
Now that I can afford to kind of fund these individual comic books, I'm just going to go at it and put these stories out there and hope people like it.
And you can just publish them and then tell people where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the great thing about the internet.
Yeah,
do these amazing sorts of things now. So this is the fifth and final season of Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
And we've been talking to you since you started doing this.
I know, yeah. Before then, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
And my wife loves that show. You know, I mean, and when she loves it, I watch
you
it too.
Have to love it too.
but it's a brilliant cast, and it's. But what's it going to be like? Have you done the whole fifth season yet, or are you?
No, we haven't started yet. Because it's done on a soundstage,
right?
They're a little bit closer to when it airs. They start kind of shooting it. Right now, the writer's room has been up for about a month. I want to say, we haven't done the first table read. I expect sometime in the fall. Because for this season, what they did, instead of chopping it up into two parts, we're starting mid-season. We're still going to get a full season order. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, that's what I expect.
They ain't going to cancel you in your 50.
Well, I mean, it's the final season. So I think Jenny kind of wants, she has a great relationship with CBS and the network, where they're going to allow her to kind of finish the story the way that she had planned it. She had plotted out 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's great that somebody even gets a chance. Because think about it. You write a pilot.
Right.
It's a big hurdle to get anybody to read it, anybody of influence. Then it's a big hurdle to get anybody to give it a thumbs up to go produce a pilot. That's almost never happens.
Right.
When, you know, we look at the odds. And then it's a big hurdle to get an order for a series or half a series and then get the back nine and all that stuff.
Right.
To go five seasons and be able to say, okay, we plotted out five seasons and we're getting those five seasons, that to me is amazing. So this season, I think they're just working really hard and making sure that they kind of get back to what the show was originally in terms of what Jane has gone through, you know, all the heartache, all the heartbreak, all the challenges he's gone through. So you're going to see a lot of crazy kind of funnier stuff. And hopefully, I don't want to give away to people binge watching on Netflix. Hopefully because of the reintroduction or introduction of certain characters, there's going to be a lot of dynamics that are going to happen here that people are going to be really excited about with less of a break because we're starting in mid season.
Mm-hmm.
Now we won't have those long breaks. We're just going to go right through storytelling.
We mentioned table read.
Yes.
Have you been doing table reads all along? And were you doing them virtually before?
Yeah, I was doing them via Skype. Except
yeah.
I used to like coming here. I used to fly out here for the first and the last one of the season.
Oh, okay.
Only because they take a cast picture at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And Jaime Camilo always says, you only show up when there's a camera around.
Well, you know.
But yeah, I want to be in the picture. But now I kind of drive down to Manhattan Beach when I can. Because with the trailers and stuff, as you know, it's always last-minute promos, too.
Actually, from where are you? Northridge?
Northridge, yeah.
To Manhattan Beach? That's about the same as New York to L.A.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it feels.
Depending on
especially
the time
coming
of day,
back, man. Yeah. Especially coming back. It's just, it's a lot to be in the car. And all I keep thinking about, I could have done 20 spots in this time. but it's a lot of fun because one of the things that we go through as voice actors with our own studios is you do get cabin fever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to be able to see people and go, oh, that's what humans look like.
Oh,
no, that's what adults
family.
Look like. I only get to see my wife and the kids. And so it's kind of cool to see that. And also, it's just, there's a different energy when you get to that table read. Oddly enough, I don't know if I ever told you guys, but when I got the audition, when I booked the pilot and we were going to do this, because I didn't do the table read for the pilot. We just kind of jumped into it. They cut me in.
Mm.
They said, oh, you got a table read. I didn't know what a table read was.
Yeah.
So I had to look it up on the internet, and I saw The Office, the NBC show, their last table read. And I was like, oh, I can do that. That's basically a cold read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do it in person now when I can, and it's a lot of fun, but I try not to be out of the studio for too many hours.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, our guest is Anthony Mendez, who you recognize from Jane the Virgin, but doing all sorts of cool stuff that we've been talking about. If you've got a question for him, and we're going to talk some tech in a little bit too.
Yes.
Toss it in the chat room. Jack Daniel's sitting there right on the couch. You can actually get the audience cam up there, so and we can show that we actually do have an audience in here of of two. There they are. Hey, hey. All right. He'll get those questions to us, and we'll ask Anthony of those questions when we get the chance to do that. So you're now out here, as you were saying, you're living in Northridge now. We've been talking to you from right off the turnpike in Jersey all these years, but now what's it like? I came out here 3 years. What 3 years ago? What's it like? The transition been like for you?
It's like an entire life. It's been a year now. Yeah. So you go through like an entire lifetime in 1 year, because at first you're excited about being here.
Right.
Then you realize that you just left an entire world behind.
Right.
Then it's just like a different country almost. You know, it's a different feel, a different vibe. Yeah. Everything's as crazy as LA can get. It's still slower compared
to New York,
or the East Coast, even the Jersey part that I lived in. Mm-hmm. But you go through being homesick. And you start to question, because, you know, coming out here on your own and trying to make it is tough enough. Dragging your entire family. My wife left her job of 20 years to come out here.
Wow.
That kind of support is you know, it's something that I appreciated, but it also kind of weighed on me a little bit. You know, did I do the right thing? So you go through your doubts, and then you start to question it. But then I think a year time, you start to come out of the fog. And you realize that you were on autopilot the entire time, where you start to feel like home. It'll never be back home, of course, but it takes a minute to kind of get adjusted. But I always knew that I wanted to come out here once I had something kind of going, instead of me having to start over, especially because of the family.
Yeah, when you're flying west and you're approaching LAX, it's like, I'm almost home.
Yeah.
And that's when you know that, you know, it's like. You left it. The other place is just a place.
I love it here too because it's the people are you know, it's an odd combination of people being a lot more genuinely nice, and especially in retail and food service. Where in New York there are a lot of nice people, but the service, because I guess it moves so fast, it can tend to be a little bit indifferent.
Right.
So I kind of like it. And course, for Thanksgiving, I mean, I was in a t-shirt in my backyard in the pool, for God's sakes. I mean, you can't beat that.
January is even nicer.
Oh, man. You know? Yeah, that's...
The snow is not this deep, and it's...
Oh, my God.
And you're wearing sandals.
Yeah. Or don't have to dig out your car. That actually is a big thing.
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes you have to wash off some of the soot, but...
But
it's not like...
You know. Car wash business, huge business out here.
Oh, yeah. Big employer.
Is there anybody in this room who's not an import from elsewhere? Anybody? Everybody came from somewhere else. A lot of us from the East Coast, and you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially in our business, in the entertainment business. It's just, it's where it is.
Yeah.
That whole thing, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere about New York.
But yeah.
I feel that way about LA.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is to subsist here and sustain.
It's very easy to
you can get a big break.
You could get a big break here, but you can also.
But that break can just. Yes. Go away. You can like have a show for a year, and then it's gone, and you're like, oh crap.
I've gotten a lot of people, teachers that know what I do, or neighbors, or friends of my wife's, that, what is Anthony going to do now that the show is over? You know, because they don't know
you're not gonna the be promos and writers and stuff.
You're always hustling.
So it's just, you know, they don't really know and understand that you're still working, that you're still doing stuff, that you're still surviving. But it's the thing about LA is that it's very easy to feel like the town owes you something.
Mm.
And this place doesn't know a damn thing to anybody.
Yeah, really.
Because it's a machine that's going to keep running. And the reality is, you can build a level of power, you can lose it, you can come back and forth. But the reality is, they don't owe you anything. Mm-hmm. So you try to play the game as much as you can. You try to be genuinely as easy to work with as you can. Because the minute you start to think that you're like this big hotshot, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that you don't have to be selective about the auditions you get or the jobs that you take on.
Right.
I've always kind of been very selective about that. But you're not higher than anybody else. I just happen to have a spotlight on me right now that a lot of my friends may not have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference. The minute you start getting into your head like you're this big star, or like, oh, I can't believe they didn't hire me for something, it's a slippery slope, and it's very easily you can just end up resenting the place. And at that point, what the hell is the point?
That's right.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Absolutely. Now, you've got a special thing going on here, a charity auction for Cancer Gets Lost.
Yes.
You're auctioning off your first mic. Tell us all about that.
I went to WonderCon, being in the comic book business now. I went to WonderCon in Anaheim back in March, and Joe Garfin was talking on a panel about what they do for her fandom charity, which is Cancer Gets Lost. Lost because it's basically started as a lost fandom from the TV show to benefit cancer. But she's expanded it now. And I said, you know what? I think I've been saving my first microphone, my 416, for a special purpose. I wanted to donate it somewhere. Somehow I wanted it to benefit somebody.
Right.
And I met her and it was perfect. I said, hey, would you be interested in me auctioning this off? She loves the show. And we're going to auction off the microphone to benefit her charity and of course, fighting cancer. And I'm excited about not only my microphone, but everything that's on there and especially in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good opportunity to have people kind of have a piece of memorabilia, maybe collectors, maybe somebody who just wants to support. So there's so many different reasons to kind of get it. I signed my first microphone. The microphone that I got was the first microphone that I really, first real one.
Mm-hmm.
It cost me $1,000. And when I first started, I mean, $1,000 is still a lot of money.
Right.
But when I first started, I didn't have it. So I had to put it on layaway. It was the one that got me my first major promo campaign, my first major movie trailer, and of course the show. And I did the first season of Jane the Virgin on that particular mic, and it's up for auction.
Right.
If you follow me on Instagram, I put the link in the bio. But I also created a short one, which is Antny, antny.us/GCL it's the CGL, Cancer Gets Lost.
CGL, yeah. Got it.
So you go to that, you can just bid on it. Yeah, anything cool, that man. Because they have so many items, I wouldn't be surprised if the microphone doesn't go for its full retail price. So it also gives you an opportunity to get a 416.
416, yeah.
But yeah.
Good karma to it.
It really does, man.
It's got the right juju.
Yeah. It does.
That, you know, everybody wants the 416.
The 416, the juju edition. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, okay. I like that. We should talk to Sennheiser about that.
Say that domain again because I'm trying to bid on it right now.
It's Antny, that's ANTNY dot US.
Oh, got it.
Slash.
Forward slash. Forward slash.
Cancer Gets Lost in initials, CGL.
Got it.
Yep.
All righty. All right. Antny Mendez is our guest. And again, if you got a question for him, and I'm sure the questions are piling up in the chat room, for Antny, as we talk about all this cool stuff. But we're just talking about microphones there with the 416. You're a tech guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, what have you got?
Not as much as George, but I'm tech enough to be able to figure things out. I don't have a lot. It's become smaller and smaller.
Right.
I started with a 733 megahertz G4 that they used to call the Silver, Quicksilver.
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember those.
Pretty noisy, right?
Yeah, pretty noisy. But it was cool because it was the first ones right after the blue boxes. Where you can just open the latch and open the drop the side.
Right.
So I started with that.
Revolutionary.
It really was.
All the guts. And you came
can
right out.
Yes, you can update the cards and everything. That died on me when I got my first major promo campaign for CNN. Hmm. So they called me. They say, "Hey, can you go in 15 minutes?" I was like, "Oh shoot, I
like,
gotta do this." My
like
computer
on the
just died.
Yeah.
So I ran out and bought a $400 Asus laptop.
Yeah.
And it worked. And I was
used it for.
I don't need to do anything else. So I've been using laptops ever since 2010, 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what I have in my studio is a Dell laptop now.
Uh-huh.
But my daughter wants to use it, so I give it to her sometimes. And I have also a Mac Mini. So I kind of jump back and forth. But for the interface I use, and this is because of George, because my Avalon 737 needs to be recapped. Basically the capacitors, after a while, they kind of dry up and they create this horrible hum. And I didn't want to deal with tubes anymore. So I spoke to George, and he recommended the Grace M103 because it has a similar layout in terms of, you know, the EQ, the compression.
Similar features. Yeah.
Similar features. Yeah. And it sounds almost the same because, you know, even though the 737 is a tube, when it's new, when it's in the condition it's supposed to be, it doesn't really color.
Right.
You know, Class A circuitry and all that other stuff. But the M103 allowed me to kind of transition without changing my sound too much, and it gave me a cleaner sound. And also, if in the middle of the night or something, I have to flip it on, I don't have to wait the half hour or so till it warms up.
Right.
So I have the Audient ID4, which is George also recommended as the interface, into my laptop. The M103 is powering my MKH, the microphone, the MKH 8040, which I replaced my 416 with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And you have a booth or?
No, I don't like booths. You're
like, okay. You like just in your office?
I try to treat rooms with its natural environment. So I like to have shelves with different sized books and DVD cases mm-hmm. as my diffusers.
Yep.
I like to have heavy sound blankets right. around.
Right.
So I want it to still feel like a house, like a home. So I use that as I do have bafflers or baffle walls. Mm-hmm. I have two of those that I can move around, partitions.
Gobos,
so
we like to call them.
Yeah, gobos. Yeah, yeah. Yes. So I basically put two of those, not to close myself in, but kind of control. Mm-hmm. So they're like layered like this almost.
Right.
So I don't have a closed-in booth, and it mm-hmm. works fine. Yeah. I'm actually in a walk-in closet that's surrounded by three different rooms. So I have like two or three doors. And
that's great. An interior great. Closet yeah. is fabulous.
When, yeah. you were, when you were shopping for the house, obviously this is a major piece of the criteria
yes.
right, when you were looking for a home.
Yeah, every single home that I went to, I wanted to make sure that there was a room within a room. Some of them had garages, but they weren't, had no power and no right. AC. And heat in the valley, in the summer, in a garage.
It gets warm here.
It's a little bit hot. Yeah, just a little bit.
I know people are like, I got a whisper room where you can put it. I was thinking of the garage. I'm like, holy smokes.
No,
you're going to lose a few pounds doing
yeah,
that.
It is tough. Yeah. So that's part of the criteria. It's basically a walk-in closet. There's a bathroom on this side, the bedroom, a closet here, and another bedroom here. And then the alleyway between me and the next home is empty. And you can't hear them or anything. So it's just perfect.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about the houses here in Southern California. What the ones that are like, you know, mid-century, 1950s yeah. sort of. If you go to a party and someone says, where's the bathroom? It's like, where it always is. Because the bathroom is in the same place in every house. Just slightly different yeah. rearrangements yeah. of it. So, unless they've added on or something along those lines.
Yeah, that M103 was a... It was a kind of lucky find because I've known the company Grace for a long time. Oh, but one of my clients, I believe it was Jim Tasker, had a 737 Avalon that was getting flaky. And I was like, I needed to get him something to throw in there real quick, get him back up online. And I looked, and that was the one that had similar features.
I had just started looking into the 8040, the MKH 8040, when I met you in person for the first time at AES. And, you know, the guys from Grace were there. And I was listening to it. I really liked it. The quality mm-hmm. looked good, and I said, "This is the preamp I'm gonna go with," and it worked out.
Yeah.
The pizza wasn't that great there, but the preamp.
But it was free.
But
it,
yeah,
they mean well.
They mean
well. Yeah, there's a pizzeria just opened in Santa Monica, Mar Vista, called Wall Street Pizza.
Is it Wall Street Pizza though? No.
It's good.
Let me tell you. Oh, one of the things I've always been complaining about. You know, as a sidebar thing, pizza, right?
Yeah,
coming from the East Coast,
coming from
pizza
New York,
in
yeah,
California is not what I would come to, what I know as pizza. There's some great pizza here. That's not the problem. The problem is I wanted, you know, the shiny grease on the top floating in puddles on the
You're
thing.
You're not going to find that here. No.
But I was in Santa Monica the other day, and they're not giving me any money for this. Perry's Beach Cafe and Rentals.
You're kidding me. You found good pizza at Perry's?
Their pizza tastes almost like a New York Sicilian slice.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
Sicilian style.
Yeah, it's a Sicilian style. I mean, they still haven't found the round New York style, but that one, I really enjoyed. So I might just drive down there just for the next
time. We don't have a lot of Sicilians here. If anything, they're hiding under another name in some condo
in Jersey,
in Santa Monica.
Jersey, New York, you can't find a bad pizza. It's really tough.
That's right. Well, but at least all the others, but you've got so many choices of food here.
Yeah, you do,
That's a great thing about it. Anthony Mendez is our guest, and we'll be taking your questions for him and maybe talk a little bit more tech right after this important message, so don't go away. We'll be right back on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs,
an all-new American Crime Story, tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics, and now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze, from $16,995.
Be inspired.
then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
Yes, it's another exclusive deal for the first 12 buyers from voiceoveressentials.com. A free ABS boom microphone strap or a Vox Pop stop filter with purchase of a Micport Pro. No coupon code needed. You'll be able to get one or the other free with the purchase of a Micport Pro, but not both. Just put them in the cart and the discount will show. You may not know this. I'll bet you didn't. It's National Protect and Preserve Your Microphone Month. Who knew? And here's two great ways for you to protect your valuable microphone and get the best analog-to-digital preamp converter on the planet. Stop those plosives and that moisture, or spit, from damaging your diaphragm and your microphone with their Vox Pop Stop All Metal Pop Filter, free with a Micport Pro. Or prevent a dented, ruined microphone on a boom arm stand with the ABS adjustable boom stop. And there it is. Now, how does this thing work? Well, we'll show you how this thing works. You know, sometimes you got a microphone and you got it up there like that, and perhaps the gooseneck's a little loose and it starts, you break. If you've got the boom jock on here, it just adjusts it and it just stops it, just like that. See? Just like that. I'm going to try and not take out Anthony's teeth. But the ABS. We've been talking about this thing for years from Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials. And you can get one for free when you buy a Micport Pro. But the first 12 viewers only. So go on over right this second, right now, over to voiceoveressentials.com. Right at the bottom of the page, you'll find the picture of Harlan Hogan talking into his voice, his Portabooth Pro. That's what it is. And click on that. It'll take you right over there. And you can get an ABS boom stop right there and their pop stop or one or the other if you buy a Micport Pro right now from voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks, Harlan.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Hey, guess what? We're back on VoiceOver Body Shop, and our guest is Anthony Mendez, who's been telling us all sorts of cool stuff.
That's a big-ass wave behind me. I just noticed that. Go ahead,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Yes. This is. We want people to send us their booths so we can, show us your booths. It's right here. We got to remember whose booth this is, though. It's written down somewhere.
Wait, before we go to the questions, yes. You mentioned all your gear, but not your software.
Ah, yes.
What are you recording on now?
I record every year. I change it, whatever I'm in the mood for. Right now, I'm using Adobe Audition.
Oh, okay.
Good man.
Yeah. CS or whatever the update. I don't know. It's just whatever is there.
CC 2018.
Yeah, whatever.
It's easy to transition from Mac to Windows back and forth.
And because I'm doing the comic book stuff, I use a lot of Illustrator, Photoshop, so I'm just do the monthly
perfectly
thing.
Integrated.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we have a few questions from our amazing audience all over the fruited plain and all over the earth. But we're going to stay right here in Sherman Oaks. Jack Daniel gets the first question.
That's the beauty of being the guy in charge of the questions.
Doesn't it, though?
Oh, by the way, Anthony, here's something we got to try. Tomato pie in Silver Lake. Apparently, they bring in chemicals from New York. I'm being serious. J.V. Martin actually said this. Cool. So we got to try that.
Thank you, J.V. Yeah.
All right. So here's the my question
what
is.
What is it called again?
Tomato pie in Silver Lake.
Tomato pie in North Dakota. I got a couple places there.
Okay. So anyway, another friend of mine, I don't know if you know him, Mario Gongori, he's from Florida. He does a lot of promo, both Spanish and English. He talks about the differences in tone. And I'm wondering, do you have different sets of characters you go to for different shows, different promos, different types of promo, or different voices, whatever you want to call it? And do those characters and or voices transcend the language, or do you have different sets of them perhaps for each language?
It depends. I kind of, now with the ongoing things, for example, the HBO stuff I do, it's almost... not exactly pillow talk, I would call it, but it's basically this low-end kind of character just calmly telling you on the drive, because those are heard mostly in the car. So I don't really pay too much attention to whether or not that's a character. I already kind of know that every single thing requires a different character. In terms of transcending language, when it comes to voiceover, when it comes to branding, that's something different, obviously. Because your personality can transcend anything. But when it comes to the voices and the characters, that you, it's very difficult to kind of transcend language and voiceover because it's so specific to what the message is. And if you're connected to what that message is, some people might be able to pick up on the energy of what you're trying to tell, say, but it doesn't really transcend it per se. As a person, you can kind of transcend cultures and things like that if you're, you know, if you're nice and easy to work with everybody. But I'm not too sure that my characters necessarily transcend language. A Latin lover narrator, his accent is kind of enhances the thing, and in that case, I guess it kind of transcends because it's a general market show. But it's basically has to do with the writing more than anything else, I think.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah. But Abuela makes up for the rest of that.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, because she speaks Justin mostly in Spanish.
But you can actually follow her after.
You could, yeah,
which is cool. Who's the actress that plays her?
Yvonne Cole. Yeah, she's been around. She knows every single. She had her own variety show in Puerto Rico. Yeah. She was a Miss Puerto Rico. She's been in the entertainment business for quite a while. She was going to retire right before she got the audition for Jane.
Now she can.
Now she can, yeah.
Our next question comes from another studio member, Wendy Shapiro. Oh.
Hey.
Hey. So you were saying that you did the table read. And so when you do table reads for Jane and whatnot, do you find different things that if you were just sitting in your booth, you wouldn't?
Yeah.
Can you expound on that?
The energy of the actors are picked up better than Skype could. Before I moved out here, I was only able to attend either the first table read for the season or the last one where they took the cast picture. And there's pros and cons to both. When you're in Skype, as a voice actor, you're so used to being in front of a mic. You're freer when you're in the booth. So I do a lot more ad-libbing when I'm on the mic and Skype at a table read. And a couple of occasions, those lines have made it in once or twice. I don't do as much when I'm doing the table read because it seems a little bit more disruptive doing it there. But I can pick up on more of what the different characters' intentions are. And then sometimes I make mental notes for when I go ahead and do the prelim. Because the way it works is I get the script, right? And the table read the next day or when they start shooting. I do the prelim, which is basically front to back of the show. They cut it in when they get their dailies. For people who don't know, the dailies are workshop for that day, and then they go send them over to the editor. So they start cutting in my voice as they're cutting in the dailies for the show. And then Jenny goes and sees if there's any tone changes or any notes from the studio or whatever she wants to change, and then we do pickups for that. But the energy in the room is just, it's invaluable, what you can pick up in terms of, and these actors are just so good at what they do, especially Gina, who can just walk in and just give her all in this. There are moments where she has to break down and cheer him. She just shifts from one to the other right there in the table read, and that kind of blows me away. So I kind of have to, it kind of motivates me to get that energy and take it back. And yeah, so it is invaluable to actually be physically there. Yeah. And when I can, I do it.
You ever think about doing on-screen yourself?
No. Okay. No, I think about it. I mean, I'm open to everything, right? You never can be closed to anything when it comes to entertainment. And I'm not above or below anything.
Right.
But the reality is that it kind of has to work with my schedule at this point because it takes me away from the studio.
Right.
And when they need promos or trailers, like, for example, the Ant-Man right. stuff that we're working on now, that was for a while until the release where they might have, like, you know, post-release reviews. It was every day. Mm-hmm. They had a spot or an editor pick up, and I can't afford to be away from the studio. So if they allow me, so it works with my schedule, and they allow me to have a mobile setup in the studio, in the trailer.
Yeah, baby, fat trailer.
Yeah. I'm open to do anything. Yeah. Plus, I did study acting in New York because I kind of felt that I always needed it to be able to be a better voice actor. So I did scene study. I did improv in New York and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah.
We are actors.
We are actors. Yeah.
It just says voice in the first part.
I just feel that I'm much better at being in a vocal booth than I would be on set. Obviously, like if you were to take somebody that was on set. Put them in a vocal booth, it's a new environment for them, so it'd be the flip. But by the 200th take, I should be fine.
Next question from Fred North. Mr. Woodham.
He says, will you self-publish the comics, or are you going to use like an Amazon kind of printing method?
Yeah, what ends up happening is that printing is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's costly, and there are some printers here in California that do it competitively.
Mm-hmm.
But the printing that you want is offset printing. As old as it is, it still gives you the best quality.
Mm-hmm.
But laser printers have come a long way, and they look amazing now.
Yeah.
So you could get away with it with laser
mm-hmm.
Printing, and it looks rich, looks great, but it's not the same thing. So I just don't feel that I'm going to get a return for an indie comic or to actually self-publish it. The first one, I will run a limited print for promotional purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe do a couple of signings in New York and here and stuff like that at comic shops. But it's going to be mostly digital on Comixology.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then, of course, whatever stories I want to pitch to like Image and things like that and do proposals. If somebody wants to pick it up, that's fine. But in the meantime, there's just no need for me to kind of print it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Save on paper.
Yeah.
Save a few trees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. JV Martin, who's been on this very show, asks, listening to you perform on Jane the Virgin and then hearing you speak in this interview raises this question. On Jane, is Anthony Mendez the series narrator, or is the narrator actually a character played by Anthony Mendez?
That's a great question. That's a great question because it's unique, right? Because if you're hiring a regular person to narrate in their own voice, like the PBS stuff,
right.
I'm credited as myself.
Right.
But this is it's called a Latin Lover narrator for a reason. And they'll reveal it as it goes on. It is a character. It is a character that is narrating the show and telling the story. And we'll reveal in the fifth season who the narrator is or what his relationship is to the other characters in the fifth and final season.
Hmm.
So it's a great question. So it is a character that I kind of have to put on for it. But that's not either bad or good. It's just you have to kind of approach... And I approach everything as a character anyway, like we were talking before.
Right.
It's just not something as, I don't have to make as many acting choices in like promos and trailers as I would for the show, for example. That's the biggest difference.
Okay.
I think that was the question.
That was. Okay. I mean, you were talking a little bit about before, but that defines
and something about pizza better. Or something.
Yeah. Well, we have to talk about the important stuff. Tremaine Kendrick Mosley has a question.
Also known as Trey.
That's an awesome name.
The Trey Man.
That's right. Do you make personal appearances being the narrator on the show? And what impact has your character and the cast as a whole made within the Latin community? So
that's
two totally different questions, but...
Yeah, the first one, making appearances, I got into voiceovers specifically so I don't have to make appearances. But I do them for certain events. For example, I did a couple of red carpets I get invited to premieres of shows and things like that. I had to hire a publicist because I don't have the time to kind of fetch when the show first started and started getting attention and after the Emmy nominations. So you do operate as a regular on-camera actor. And I hate to use the word celebrity because the reality is you really aren't. Maurice Tobias had always told me, and this is something I always look back on, you don't have the career. Your voice does. So people may be familiar with my voice, but they still refer to me in some articles as the narrator while they mention all the other actors' names.
Sure.
And my publicist would come in and she would kind of let them know.
Puts in your place. Puts in your place, doesn't it?
But in terms of appearance, I don't have to kind of attend. I do it because it's good to have these relationships. Everything in this business is relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't do it necessarily because I want something out of anybody. It's just, it's good to interact with other people that are doing something similar or different from voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
It's another world. So I try to get out as much as I can to like
How about events. Cons?
Not yet. I will be attending once the comic books drop. I do have a schedule of all the cons. There's a ton of them here in California, which is awesome. Everywhere from Ontario to Anaheim to Long Beach, San Diego. It's just you can spend the whole year going to freaking cons out here, which is awesome. And, so yeah, so next year I am going to be doing the rounds with the and the company. What was the other question?
Oh, the other part.
Was pizza, right?
Jack, give me that bag.
You can tell I haven't eaten, right? Impact on the Latin community has been fantastic because for two reasons. You know, the Latin community is not this homogenized culture, right? Sure. There's a bunch of different cultures within the culture. And then on top of that, you have two different layers because you have the native Spanish speakers and the American acculturated Latinos. So I think the biggest impact has been to be able to see somebody reflected that kind of looks like them, sounds like them, and talks like them on TV. A predominantly Latino cast with a lot of Latino writers is just an amazing thing to have. So I think twofold, people as a viewer, it's nice to see, and also for actors and people that want to be writers, it's also great to see that as well. So I think it's been a positive thing, and the critics have loved the show, which has been a real blessing. But that doesn't always go that way.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us here live in our studio after talking to you like over these great distances for years. And so it's great to have you.
Oh, can we slip one more in?
There's more.
This is from our very own Catherine Curden.
Yes.
Oh, Catherine has a question?
Gotta get this in.
I did not see that.
Just slipped in.
All right.
Are any of your children interested in following your footsteps in any way?
Yes.
On camera, off camera,
Alicia, who's my 10-year-old, has done a rapping animation thing for PBS Kids, and she already has worked.
Oh, wow.
And then Maya wants to actually do the whole audition thing, and that I'm kind of a little bit hesitant because of that. It's a tough business. But
does your wife have the time to do?
That's the other thing. Not just my wife, me, because we're both
you
working.
Guys both.
Yeah, we both have to have time to do it. So I think what I'm going to do with Maya is kind of train her myself at home, and then maybe I'll charge her a discount or something. I don't know. Yeah, so they are interested. It's just that I have to kind of find the time to make sure that I still allow them to be kids, man.
They have to be really motivated.
Yes.
Because we started off Ella at a very young age on camera, and then as soon as she pushed back, we immediately
have to. Yes.
Well, we were like, okay.
Yeah.
And every year I just say, you want to try that again? You want to have a little fun for college or something?
It's a balance because as kids, you know, they're on to the next thing. So you have to find a way to continue to teach them to be committed to something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't make it a drag because then what's the point?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be fun or why do it?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for being with us.
Thanks again, man.
It's great to see you, man. It's great to have you on here. All right, George and I'll be right back to wrap things up here on VoiceOver Body Shop right after this.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs,
an all-new American Crime Story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics, and now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze from $16,995.
Be inspired, then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
Hey, everybody, this is about our great friends and sponsors over at Source Elements. They're the creators of Source Connect, that amazing software that by now you should probably know all about. But if you don't, it's a software that allows you to connect your studio to another remote studio with really high quality bi-directional audio. Think of it as like an ISDN type thing that you can actually afford and actually get, which is not really happening that much with ISDN anymore. It's also, you can think of it as like a really, really high quality version of Skype for audio only that will allow you to send sample rate accurate locked audio. It does not drift. It doesn't change quality as your bandwidth goes up and down. No, it stays locked in time and in quality guaranteed throughout the session. But it also has a backup system. And if there is a dropout because of some interruption, it can automatically fill in the audio. It's like magic. If you want to give it a try, go to source-elements.com and you can get a 15-day free trial. You don't have to have one of those little iLock dongly things to try out Source Connect or use Source Connect standard now. And give it a shot. And please tell them we sent you over there, all right? All right, we'll be right back to wrap this up. And thanks again.
All right, we're back. Well, thanks again to Anthony Mendez for... He's always a great interview.
I know,
it's
going
to
be great.
Have him on here. And,
I knew it. It was going to be awesome.
Next week on this show, much to my surprise, we have...
Because we just found out.
It might That's be why reason. I was surprised by it. Mike Lenz from Albany, New York, mm-hmm. the other end of the thruway from where I'm from.
Yeah.
Former mayor. He was in politics for 10 years, now in voiceover for 10 years. He has a podcast. He's a member of World Voices. All right. And started a podcast company, too. So he's going to be our guest next week.
That's cool.
On VoiceOver Body Shop.
I'll enjoy talking a little bit of shop with him about the whole podcasting thing.
And I can talk
politics
with him.
You guys don't mind, you know, getting a little off-topic of VO. It's fun once in a while.
That's true. Who are our donors of the week?
Oh, maybe I should go take a look. We've been getting a steady stream of people who subscribe to the show, which is really cool because we don't have to keep bugging you. You just put it on auto-donate and money keeps coming. And maybe you guys just forget how to turn it off. I don't know.
You don't have to forget.
It's nice, though. We really appreciate it. Tracy H. Reynolds, Andrew Kaufman, Eric Aragoni. These are names that I read every single week. It's really wonderful. We've also got donations from a few others here whose names aren't popping up at the top here. So I'll just scroll down. Shana or Shanna, I hope it's, I never say the same way twice. Pennington Baird, Antland Productions, that's our buddy Uncle Roy. And also new since last week, I see the name, Diana Birdsall. So these are names. Oh, Stephanie Sutherland. Thank you. These are names that I've read many times because they're subscribers. But you don't have to subscribe. You don't have to have it recurring. If you see a guest on, you find some value and just you can make a one-time little donation. It's all done over PayPal right on the website. So thank you so much for all those that do support. We appreciate it.
Right. And, of course, we want to remind you again that we're here to help you with your home studios. If you want to talk to George, they go to?
GeorgeThe.tech or GeorgeTheTech.com.
Right. And if you want to talk to me and have some fun, you can go over to HomeVoiceOverStudio.com.
There's no forward slash
on that one. All right. Let's see here.
I need pizza. That's the problem.
Yes. Now, if you have past credits from another place, they can use those?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned this last week. I'm going to take this off and run down for next week.
Don't have to mention any names.
You know, if you do, if you've bought services in the past that were intended to be for me, forward me your receipts. I will be happy to make good on those past purchases because, you know, things happen. I'm no longer with that other company, and I'd really like to make sure you guys are taken care of. I get emails a couple of times a month saying, I bought a service credit from you in 2015. Can I still use it? I'm like, yes. Send it on over. I'll take care of you.
All righty. The show logs, if you want to hear everything we talked about tonight, in order, time code, Jack DeGolia, who actually had a trailer with us tonight. Mm-hmm. He was doing one of the bumpers.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one with the Western one. That was Jack DeGolia. Who is that? It's Jack DeGolia. Anyway, the show logs are there, and they can give you all the time for when something was said, and it makes it easier to watch it on YouTube.
I'm going to search for the word pizza.
There you go.
I'm going to search for pizza, and I'm going to find the name of all the pizzerias that were mentioned on the show.
We're here live every Monday night, almost every Monday night, and if you want to be in our audience, like Ari is right now.
If you like petting doggies.
Yeah, come on over here. Just let us know if you're in the greater Los Angeles area. And write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say audience in the subject line.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Show us your booths. Richard Durrington's booth. This is Richard Durrington's booth and his stuff and his microphone and stuff. If you want to have your booth on here, take a picture of it in landscape,
mm-hmm.
not in portrait, in landscape, and send it to us again at theguys@vobs.tv.
We're live every Monday night, pretty much every Monday night if we're not on holiday, and it's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, but you can also catch it as a podcast, which many of you do,
right?
Or watch it in replay on VOBS,
which a lot of people do.
The YouTube channel VOBS, and We appreciate you guys finding us any way you can. So tell a friend, will you?
Yeah. And if you're having a little trouble finding the show on our website, www.vobs.tv.
Yeah, we're sorting out the domain. Well, I think it literally got forwarded like 24 hours ago.
Right.
So,
it'll take a little while to propagate, as our webmaster likes to say.
Yeah.
We need to thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements,
VO2GoGo,
VoiceActorWebsites.com,
and J. Michael Collins Demos.
And, of course, we'd like to thank the people who really make this show possible. First, the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for Betterment of Live Webcasting.
Well done.
Thank you.
Very smart.
Yeah. Our producer, Catherine Curran.
Jack Daniel doing the chat room and YouTube. Basically, what are we calling him? Our social media czar.
Czar. Yeah. Yes, he's our social media czar.
And Wendy, who lets him come and do this, who's here with him today.
That's right. And, of course, our floor director, producer, technical guru, the one that makes it all happen by pressing all the right buttons, Susan Merlino. And Jack DeGoli for the show notes. And, of course, Lee Pinney, simply for being
Lee Pinney.
Lee, come visit us, man. Where are you, man? Probably in France.
You know what he's doing?
Somewhere.
He's making machining A arms for Traxxas or some kind of off road radio control vehicle.
Got to do something with your life.
That's what he's doing.
Unless you're having fun.
I see him on Instagram.
All right.
You can buy A arms.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We know this is not an easy business. Just look, somebody like Anthony Mendez, he had a struggle just like everybody else, but it can happen. And if you need help with your home studio, this is the place to come to. And if you want to learn about all cool sorts of stuff from the great people in our business, join us here every Monday night. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Right. Have a great week, everybody. And have a great 4th of July. Pew, 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 pew.